Blog Talk Radio.
By the one and only Fighting Words Radio Network, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank you all for tuning in for today's show. It's been a while since I've been on, but hey, we're back. That was Ocola, Shit for Brains. Great music. Hey, I really want to thank, again, you guys and gals for tuning in to today's program. It's always great to be on. We're going to go ahead and go right into it, man. We're going to bring a guest on the show I've been friends with about 10 years now. I've watched the man fight a few times live. A great record of 36-1, 34 knockouts, 24 first-round knockouts, something like that. I'm not very good at counting. But the guy is he's a damn good fighter, 6'4", Mexican-American, half white, half Mexican. That means he's pretty damn bad. From El Paso, Texas, he's the one and only David Nino Rodriguez. What's up, David?
What's up, Benny?
I'm doing great, Welcome to the program. Any questions or comments, 347-202-0832. Actually, you know what? We're not taking calls now. I'm going to let David talk. you know, David, I got to say, you know, we've, you and I have been, you know, I've interviewed you now for right at 10 years. We've, you know, highs, you know, actually just all highs. For the first time, and I'm just going to dive right into it, you know, for the first time, I always say, hey, that's the undefeated heavyweight, David Rodriguez. Just be honest, man, I hate to, you know, but now I got to write once beaten heavyweight, David Rodriguez. Man, what was going through your mind? I mean, this is the first defeat, you know, that you've suffered in your career. How are you, honestly, man, I know I told you, like I've told others, it's not the loss that defines a man, it's how he reacts to it. How have you been with this loss? I mean, what's going through your mind? Because, you know, you've had 36 fights and never lost any, you know, anything. You're coming off your first one of your career, man. How are you handling that?
Well, first of all, I look back at my training camp and I just saw all the things I did wrong. And, you know, really that's how you have to kind of reflect from a loss, is to look back and see all the mistakes you made and the things you did wrong and what you should have done. And that's really where you learn. During the fight, I fought a completely wrong fight. Like I said, I was sparring guys that were 6'5", 6'7". And I was not ready. I was off for 2 years, and I didn't know I was going to be fighting a guy that was 5'10", 5'9". And a fiery spark plug, hell of a puncher. I wasn't ready for that style, especially with so much time off. But I wanted to get away from excuses. You know, he fought a great fight, and he beat me. He caught me in the last, last 10 seconds of the fight. It was devastating for me to deal with. I'm still coming out of the fog, I'm just coming into acceptance of losing, which, you know, I wanted to go out, you know, I wanted to go my whole career and beat Rocky Marciano's record. You know, that was my main and foremost goal, but that's not going to happen now. But that doesn't mean I can't be a great fighter. I already know I'm a great fighter. I believe I'm one of the best heavyweights. So this happened naturally after a two-year layoff. I had a lot of things going wrong. I had a lot of personal issues going into the fight. I mean, I had the whole world on my shoulders, man, and I wasn't able to perform under those conditions. And he took advantage of it. He fought very hard, and he caught me. You know, that's boxing, man. This is not football, baseball, basketball, soccer. This is boxing. It's brutal. You know, and one punch can determine everything. And that's what happened in this fight. Especially with heavyweights, you know, we're not little guys. We're not 154 pounds. We're not 160 pounds. And those guys can still pack a punch. We're 230-plus pounds. You know, we hit like Mack trucks, you know, and every time we hit each other, we're hurting each other. So it happens. You know, these things happen. I just have to move forward in whatever way I can.
Yeah, and the thing that people may need to look into, Darnell Wilson is not a pushover, you know, 24, you know, 17 losses.
Not at all.
A lot of damn good people.
The important thing that people need to understand is I took this fight with 2 weeks. And when I talked to him, he's like, well, I knew way longer than that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. You knew a lot longer than I did that you were going to fight me. I didn't know if I was going to fight him until 2 weeks before the fight because all these other guys pulled out. And we couldn't really get the right opponent for me to come back with. And, you know, after 2 years, it's important you find the right guy. And it just, nothing was just working out. It was a mess. It was just a mess. And so finally, you know, I accepted the fight with Darnell Wilson. And I still felt in my heart like, yeah, you know, I saw some of his tapes. I was like, he's wild. He packs a punch. That's dangerous. And I should have stepped back and said, you know what? I'm not comfortable with this situation at this moment. I would have taken him maybe the next fight, you know, but I needed to get my feet wet first after 2 years off. And he was a dangerous fight to come back with 2 years off and your first fight back. And I did it anyway, and I felt like I fought a hell of a fight. I just fought the wrong fight.
Well, you know, like I said before, it's not the loss that defines a man. It's how he reacts to it. And if you recall several years back, there was a heavyweight that everybody was counting out, even myself, by the name of Vladimir Klitschko. You know, he lost, you know, Corey Sanders and, you know, Lehman Brewster. Then, you know, he was...
Right, and he had never once gotten revenge on any of those fighters. He gave him to his older brother. So to me, Vladimir is not the heavyweight champion of the world. He's just not. He's lost 3 times, and he's never redeemed himself. So to me, you know, he's not champion, not in my book. His brother.
Well, now he did. Vladimir. Now Vladimir did go back and beat Layman Brewster in that one. He did. He did give.
Oh, did he? Okay, so he beat Layman, but he never redeemed against Ross or Corey. He fed him to his older brother. So that's two.
Yeah.
And
yes,
I'm
sir,
sorry.
Yes, sir.
You cannot count your. You cannot say you're heavyweight champion if you don't redeem your losses. Lennox Lewis did.
Yes, sir. Well, let me ask you this question. We're talking about redeeming losses. Are you planning on coming back? What are you going to do? Would you like to fight Darnell again? I mean, what would you do differently? I mean, what are they expecting?
I would fight him completely different if I fought him again, definitely. I mean, I know exactly. I saw the things I did wrong. I know what I did wrong. I know where I need to place my shots on him now. And, yes, I would fight him completely different. At this point or at this juncture, I would say – that I need to heal up a little bit more emotionally, get back on the bike, you know, start getting out there and working out a little bit more, start feeling good about what I'm about to do if I'm going to return into the ring, which I believe I'm going to. It's just about when I'm emotionally ready. I need to take a fight, you know, not so much to get my confidence up, but something that is at my level right now coming back. You know, I tried to come back after 2 years, and then, you know, I got knocked out, so I'm not going to tell you that I'm feeling my best right now. You know, it's been hard, especially after getting stabbed in the face, taking 2 years off, having knee surgery, and then coming back and then getting knocked out is not the way I want to end David Rodriguez's legacy. Although my record is outstanding, you know, 36-1, that's still nobody can say that. You know, that's still a hell of a record, and I'm happy and I'm very proud of that. Nobody can take that away from me. But here comes where I need to dig in deep and decide. What do I do next? Do I continue boxing, or do I, you know, right now on my time off, I'm doing keynote speaking. I have an anti-bullying format that I'm doing. I'm talking to kids, and that's been keeping me busy, and that's been very, very helpful to a lot of youth and school districts. And I've been going and speaking to them about anti-bullying, and that's been taking up a lot of my time, and I'm very proud of that, that I can give back to the community. But as far as boxing, I believe that I will be stepping back in the ring. It's just a matter of, as an athlete, you have to feel 100%.
Yeah, we're getting to that keynote speaking. One last question, and then I'll on this fight, and we'll just carry on. Now, like I said, you've always been on the winning end for 36 fights. You've always been on the winning end, and now you're on the other side. Do you feel that this fight, I mean, now you know what it takes. Now you know what it is to lose. I mean, you've tasted it. You know, you've tasted the victory. You tasted defeat. Do you feel that this loss will make you a better fighter? I mean, now you can see both sides. You think you kind of understand now, I mean, how your opponents felt? I mean, honestly, I mean, do you feel that this, you could take something away from this to better you as a fighter, to help you carry on in the future to be successful?
I'll definitely tell you what, it's made me more, it's well-rounded. I'm more well-rounded. I understand both sides, yeah. I mean, I lost in the amateurs a couple times. But as a pro, you know, I when you're, like I said, when you're in there with two big guys throwing bombs at each other, sometimes, you know, one slight mistake can end the night and ruin a career or even a life. This is boxing. You can definitely be hurt for life in this. This is not child's play. So I look back. I'm happy I have my health. I'm happy I'm okay. Is my ego hurt? Is my pride hurt? Yes, definitely. I'm suffering in those categories for sure. I think that if anything I could take away from this, I understand what I did wrong. I know I fought the wrong fight. I shouldn't have sat in there and bombed with them, and I should have worked my defense a lot more. There's just so many things going through my mind. It's just I keep playing it back in my head and going, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have angled off this way. I shouldn't have thrown so many lead hooks on a short guy. I should have done this. I should have. All these things that I'm used to getting away with a taller fighter, I didn't get away with him because I had no time to really train for his stature. You know, I should have been firing the jab 100 times around. You know, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't controlling, you know, the pace. And, yeah, that's what I learned from a loss. And that's what I have to take with me and hope it only makes me better. Now, I understand I'm 36 years old. I understand time is not on my side. But I was so explosive in my 20s and so fast and I was a wrecking machine, man. I still have that. It's a matter of experience now. The one thing I have now is experience, and that's what I have to take with me. Is experience into the next few fights, and know when to open up and explode on a fighter and take him out.
Well, now, I appreciate your honesty and candid. You know, that's one thing I always liked about you, shooting from the hip. Now, let's carry on. Now, I know that you're doing this anti-bullying campaign, which I think is really a good thing to do, because, you know, bullying, you know, as a child, I was bullied until I got bigger and started, you know, learning how to, you know, throw those fists. But it's not always about fighting, you know, it's just, but there is bullying now. And now bullying is different than what it was when we were kids. You know, when we were kids, it was just two kids in the playground most of the time. Now there's cyberbullying, you know, people get on Facebook and bullying kids. We've seen it time and time again.
It's way worse now. It's a nightmare now to these kids.
Well, tell us a little bit more about this campaign that you're doing. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Well, you know, I want to start off by, you know, I tell all the kids that I have complete sympathy for them. You know, I understand what they're going through because I went through it. You know, when I was a kid, I used to eat my lunch in the gymnasium, hiding in the basketball courts because I didn't want to go outside because I knew so many kids that were going to pick on me and want to kick my butt. And that's the life I lived for a long time, you know, not even wanting to go out and socialize because I was in fear of the bigger kids coming and beating me up because I knew they were going to humiliate me in front of the girls and do things. And that's probably what contributed to me being a fighter, you know, now that I look back on it. So I understand everything these kids are going through because it's hell. It's a living hell. And there's ways you can combat this. I mean, there really is. And first of all, when I speak to the kids, I let them ask questions. I get involved. You know, I let them know that, hey, I point out the insecurities of the bully, you know, of what they're suffering from to make them have that kind of behavior, you know, this pecking order. It all stems from insecurity. And I talk to the kids, and basically everyone kind of leaves feeling so much better, you know, that I opened that can of worms and it didn't smell so bad. You know, everyone kind of sees what everyone's kind of going through type thing. And so I get really involved. And I tell them my stories. You know, I'm a guy that's won 6 championship belts, you know, a 36-1 heavyweight champion fighter. So they can't even believe they can relate to me or that I can relate to them. So I really just – it's really just me helping the community, and that's what I love doing because I feel like if anybody can speak on this, it's me.
And it's hard to believe that a guy like you, you know, 6'4", 6'4", badass, but – even it's not always, you know, it's not always size, which I know no one's bullying you now, but there's mentally bullying as well as physically.
It happens in the workforce, it happens in college, it happens everywhere. You know, it's just someone trying to impose their authority or like I said before, it all stems from an insecurity issue. You know, and once you identify these things and go through these steps, then you can understand what that other person is dealing with and why they're dumping their garbage on you or why they feel the need to pick on you or belittle you. You know what I'm saying? So it all stems from that. It's a very interesting subject. And once you get to the bottom of it, you know, it's kind of like when I go into the ring or in the weigh-in, the intimidation starts. It's a mental game. It's a mental chess game from the beginning I see my opponent. And you kind of learn behavior. You're not kind of learn. You do learn behavior. And I've learned behavior. I've learned body language. I've learned just how to psych out my opponent. I know how to read their insecurities. I learned how to read their confidence. And you learn how to utilize that and capitalize on that. So, you know, I kind of go through it with the class and I let them understand basically where it stems from, how to deal with it, and the steps to take to manage it.
Yes, and I believe that's a good thing. I really do because that's there's a, you know, I've been on the brunt end of bullying, you know, and I've seen it, you know, with family and friends, and it's a lot of, like you said it right, these people are bullying because they have insecurities or something that doesn't click with them or something that's not right, or maybe they're getting bullied at home and they feel like it, pick on this person, you know, because of their weakness or because of whatever. So, you know, didn't you do some work with didn't you go to the children's hospital as well? I know I've seen pictures of you doing things with children, sick children and stuff.
Is that?
Yeah, because I went to a lot of cancer wards, and especially in El Paso, I've been to one here, the children's hospital, and that, I'll tell you what, if that's where you see, that's where you really can see true bravery, when you see a kid that's, you know, laying there dying of cancer, probably doesn't have much longer to live, especially when he's 9 years old, 8 years old, you know, 15 years old, you know, just got cancer. I saw this one kid that was like 15 or 16 that just got cancer in his throat, spreading into his lungs, doesn't have a chance to live, and he's handling it like a real man, and that's real bravery, man. And their outlook on life is just, you know, yeah, they're sad, they're but they still have this faith of to keep going on, you know. And I learned more from them than anything, to be honest. Like visiting those cancer wards, I learned from them more. I took away more than they can ever take away from me. I took away the lesson.
Yeah, that's
and you're right. You know, you see something like that. You know, it's the real heroes. You know, I believe the word the hero is really.
They haven't even had a chance to live life, and they're already facing death. I mean, to me, that's just I can't even comprehend that. It's, you know, if something were to happen to me now, at least I lived a good full life up into this, you know, this age, 36, 37, whatever. I've done a lot. You know, these kids haven't even had a chance to do anything, and it's already over, you know, and so that, to me, was very humbling.
You know, just a few more questions. I got to ask this. Now, listen, I just want your thoughts on, we got a fight coming up, you know, a big fight coming up, a rematch between Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley. Tim Bradley, of course, Tim Bradley, which I feel Tim Bradley lost. He didn't, you know, in 2012, he defeated Manny Pacquiao, split decision. I don't see nowhere in hell how he won. But, now, of course, Marquez knocked Pacquiao, and Pacquiao come back and defeated Brandon Rios' decision. Well, what are your thoughts on this fight with the Timothy Bradley-Manny Pacquiao? I mean, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, do you think that Timothy Bradley could win it again, or do you think?
Anybody could win at that level, of course. Did Bradley win the first fight? Hell no. He didn't win, not even came close. It was a joke. I even left before the decision was made, and they called me on my cell phone to tell me that Bradley won. I didn't believe it. I thought they were joking with me. And I looked at the highlights and everything, and I was like, I had Pacquiao ahead, like, I think it was like 9 rounds to maybe 3. I mean, maybe. It was a joke. I thought the fact that they literally gave Bradley a present, and they humiliated boxing because – everyone who's a boxing fan knows who won that fight. I mean, if you actually have a question in your mind that you think Bradley won, then you don't know boxing. Pacquiao went in there and destroyed him. And that was it. He shouldn't even have to the fact that he's having a rematch, okay, whatever. Then Pacquiao should do the same thing he did to Bradley the first time. And this time, if I was Pacquiao, I'd put his ass out. Because, honestly, he closed the book. He did not win that fight. He didn't even come close to winning that fight. They gave it to him as a present. Here's a Christmas gift. Here you go. It was a joke. To me, that fight was probably one of the biggest jokes in boxing. That's my view on it.
Now, I got to ask this. You know, it's been widely reported that that Floyd Mayweather Sr. Will be taking on Ruben Guerrero, which is the father of Robert Guerrero, the Ghost Guerrero. Of course, we know that Guerrero and Junior fought a while back. Of course, Junior dominated. And we've seen from the HBO series how these two went back and forth, back and forth. And I know you know more about this than I do. You've got some insight about this, I guess. What in the world's going on, man?
Well, I was on set with both of them on the reality show Knockout, and I'll tell you what, first of all, both of them are great people, man. I like Floyd Mayweather Sr. and I like Guerrero Sr. I mean, both of them are great. I get along more with Guerrero because, you know, he's a Mexican-American, we talk, and he's a real, you know, spunky type of guy, real, has a high personality, type A personality. you know, real excited, you know, high-strung type dude. Floyd is or Senior is more laid back, chill, you know, relaxed, very humble, nice man. I mean, I don't want to see him fight because I think they're both, what are they trying to prove? You know, I don't understand what this is all about. I mean, you know, leave the fighting to the younger men, you know what I mean? But if they have a grudge match they want to settle, that's up to them. But I think it's completely not necessary. And, you know, unless it's the money, which I think that's what it is. I think they're both getting paid handsomely for this. So maybe that's what it is. I know Guerrero definitely wants to fight Senior. I don't know if Senior really wants to fight him all that bad, except maybe for the paycheck. You know, that's what I see in all this. And after talking to both men, you know, I like them both. But I see the fighter mentality more so in Guerrero. I mean, he really wants to get it on. Senior, I don't really see him caring that much to even get it on. You know, that's just my view. That's what I saw on set. And I don't really know what either of them are going to gain from this, but I guess whatever personal vendetta they have, they can solve.
I guess I don't want to think about that myself. I guess in closing, I guess, what is next for you, regardless of whether it be fighting in the ring or doing something out of the ring, what can the David Rodriguez fans expect from you here shortly or here in the future?
I think what they can expect is for me to come back. The timeline to come back, I believe I'll be coming back this summer. There's some projects I want to do. You know, I'm going to be working out. I'm going to be, you know, you got to understand the healing process too. You know, it's not the smartest thing after you've been, you know, suffered a knockout to come back so fast and try to fight again. You got to let your body heal. So that is first and foremost on my agenda, to just heal up and see how I feel mentally. I'm an athlete, so I know my body, I know my mind, and they have to be in sync. So I can't go into the ring not feeling my best or 80% mentally and 70% physically. That's not going to happen. I'm not entering the ring like that. I got to feel 100% running on all cylinders and ready to dismantle an opponent like I've always felt in every fight. So that's really, when I get back to that mentality and I feel good, then I'll be entering the ring again. As of now, like I said, I'll be doing the keynote speaking to different schools and following through with that and working out. And I know getting back in the gym is the most important thing, so I believe that fire will start to consume me again once I'm back in the gym, hitting the mitts, start sparring again for the first time, and, you know, getting back in there is the most important thing. So once I start doing that, then I'll be getting back in the ring. I'll be looking into getting back in the ring.
All right. Well, man, David, I appreciate you, man. And we'll be talking soon. And any info that, you know, we'll put this on Boxing Talk, and we'll just keep in touch. And, you know, I'll let the fans know what's going on with Nino, man.
Thanks, Penny. I appreciate it, bro.
All right, man. God bless. Be safe, brother.
All right, mate.
To all the fan listeners out there, that was the one and only 36-1 with 34 knockouts, David Nino Rodriguez. Thank you for tuning in to today's program. We'll be back again, Big Dog Radio. God bless. Be safe. Be good.